No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world.
Okay, terrific.
Language and writing were made available.
He'll teach you everything.
I'm writing this down. This is good stuff.
Hey, I'm John. This is John Helps You Write Better. And today I want to talk to you about quantity. Particularly, I want to talk to you about something called narrative quantity and a guy we call Haberman. Now, Haberman's been dead about 60 years. He got hit by a train or a streetcar. He got hit by some form of public transportation, and he's dead. But when he wasn't dead, he came up with a thing that's casually referred to in some spaces as Haberman's Law, which is more of a guideline than a law, but that's neither here nor there. Haberman's Law says the more of something in a story there is, generally, the less special it is because there's just so much of it. And it's hard to suddenly make it seem like it's anything because it's so numerous. You can't make a million bad guys feel like a threat on an individual basis because there's just so many. It seems like a block, like a single solitary unit. If you have, you know, your teen character catching 100 Pokemon, it can be hard to, you know, get your head around the idea that catching a Pokemon is hard if this guy's captured 100 of them. Haberman's Law has to do with the idea that the quantity of action or the quantity of things interacted with is not the measure or not the idea you want to focus the reader on. It sounds cool to you. Oh man, I have like 100 options. I have 999 potions in my video game. It sounds cool to you, but from somebody on the other end, they don't have any sense that getting number 996 and number 997 were all that difficult because you had gotten 995 prior to that point. Be very careful, basically, Haberman says, be very careful with over quantifying something and then turning around and saying the act of gaining that quantity is difficult. I've defeated 1,000 opponents. Okay, so what? The problem with this is that a lot of writers, especially young writers, especially newer writers, especially writers who really haven't branched out past their individual favorite five things they read and reread, tend to see this in sort of video game terms, that if I just, you know, grind out 100,000 murders, I'm super fine. More is not better. Individual effort is better because the reader can relate to it, because the reader can focus on it. Because, yeah, it's great that you killed so many guys, but it's going to be hard to suddenly pivot and say, well, this 1,001th guy is all of a sudden difficult without better structure, without better establishment, without better saying, oh, something's different this time. Now, the way we get around this oversaturated sort of quantity of writing rule, it's why you can't give somebody 30 powers. It's why you can't, you know, give them this spell and that spell and fill their spell book and 100% the game and all that kind of thinking. The way you get around this is called deviated expectation, which is basically the idea of I turn a light switch on, expecting the light to turn on, but today the light doesn't go on. The temptation here and the wrinkle here with that is that a lot of writers want to make the other thing that happens sort of like extra shocking. Well, you know, I turn the light switch on and it doesn't turn the light switch on. It suddenly makes fish fall out of the sky. And that sounds great. But again, we're not really solving the issue of I have too many things and I need to focus the reader down and I need to simplify and tighten my story by suddenly reaching for some absurd, definitely strangeness kind of thing in order to hold the reader's attention. We're not gambling or wagering the reader's attention. We're not even going to play with it. We're going to assume they're engaged. So you don't need to have fish fall out of the sky when you turn the light switch off. You need to be able to understand that you turn the light switch off and then you express to the reader, hey, it didn't do the thing I expected. Something is different. There's a challenge now in front of me. I'm going to go solve it. Basically, what you're doing is detaching the current effort, how things are right now, and how things are going to be going forward, from the pre-existing backlog. We're creating a little fire break. Because that excessive quantity you presented early on as part of the backstory or the lore or the montage or however you shorthanded and kind of waved through it, the reader has no ability to understand that. You are basically just saying, you know, here's a pile of things I did. I've sneezed 1,000 times in my life. Okay, the reader has an intellectual knowing, but not necessarily an emotional bridge to how the character should feel or how we should feel about the character. You want to set new standards by basically putting away the quantity. It can be there. It can be a thing you reference. It can be a some kind of foundational stone in the wall of lore, but you can't come to rely on it. Haberman had a really clear eye on the idea that you, when you're telling stories and you're making heroes and you're giving them all this stuff, that after a certain point, the reader loses the ability to see that hero as challenged. Why would it be a big deal if they've got, you know, 16 spells and 22 superpowers and they can do this and do that and they've dispensed with 1,000 different obstacles? How do you challenge a character like that? And the way you do that, or one of the ways you do that, is to defy expectation. That's probably going to be the easiest way. There are other ways. You want to consider, you know, scaling back the power. You want to consider, you know, in extreme terms, doing something radical to reboot the story. That's not advisable all the time, but it's an option on the table, so let's talk about it. But the idea is you need to make clear that however things were before is not how things are going forward, so that the reader can get on board with the story as it is and then move along at this new rate, no matter what the past was. And if you fall back into that pattern and that habit of, well, here comes another 1,000 guys, I'll just, you know, start doing this and start doing that, understand that the more ambitious might not be the right word, but the more grandiose you make these character actions and the simpler they get, the harder it's going to be for you down the road to retain that reader, because you're not building an effective model for challenge. But we'll talk about models for challenge tomorrow. So give this some thought for now, and I will talk to you tomorrow.